God is good all the time. Now, what we're doing is we're talking about the 14 articles of faith. And by way of review, if Brother Blue, if you'll put up the first few articles of faith, these are very important. These are very important things. These are what we believe. Some churches, they don't know what they believe. Some Christians don't know. You need to know what you believe. It is a foundation. And these are what we believe. Number one, we believe in God, the Trinity. There is but one living God and living in true, everlasting, of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness, maker and preserver of all things, both visible and invisible. He is the maker of all things, including the unborn children. Amen. And in the unity of the Godhead, there are three persons, but of one substance, of eternal being, equal in holiness. Equal. Somebody say equal. In holiness, justice, wisdom, power, dignity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Say that. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There are churches that do not believe in the Trinity. They believe that Jesus only. He is the Father. He is the Son. He's the Holy Spirit. But they take this scripture and they'll use this scripture. But it doesn't add up with all of scripture. Amen. You can't take one scripture and build a doctrine on it. You must take the entirety of the scripture. And so, number two, we believe that Jesus became a flesh, the incarnation. Number two, we believe that the Son, who is the Word of the Father, the very eternal God, He is God. He's not a human being. He is of one substance with the Father. He took man's nature in the womb of the Blessed Virgin. We talked about the Virgin Mary and the virgin birth. And we talked about that Jesus Christ was God and He died. And then last week, Pastor talked about the resurrection. Everything hinges on the resurrection. Number three, we believe that Christ did rise again from the dead and took again His body. And with all things appertaining to the perfections of man's nature, and ascended into heaven, and He sits until He shall return. We're talking about the priest. There's the priest, there's the high priest, and there's the great high priest. His name is Jesus. Amen. So I don't know about you, but going through doctrine doesn't put me to sleep. It fires me up. Amen. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able. We serve a mighty God. We're talking about eternal majesty, glory, dignity. Up from the grave He arose. What problems are you facing? Well, I believe Article 1, 2, and 3, and 4 through 12. And I tell you what, I don't have any problems. God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen? So tonight we're at Article 4. Article 4. Let's read it out loud. Let's start here. We believe the Holy Ghost proceeding from the Father and the Son is of one substance, majesty, and glory with the Father and the Son, very and eternal God. Now stand with me tonight and go to John chapter 16 as we talk tonight and we ask the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? John chapter 16, 7 through 11. We've talked about the Father, say amen. We've talked about the Son, say amen. And tonight we talk about the Holy Spirit, amen. And you can say Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. They are synonymous. You're not doing when you say Holy Ghost, same as Holy Spirit. Just different, same, different terminology, same person. And I use them interchangeably. Amen. I'm from the old school. I'm from old Pentecost. So I say Holy Ghost. Amen. But I also know some people when they think of ghosts, they think of Casper the Friendly Ghost, you know. And they think of those zombies walking around. So I don't want people to get the wrong idea. He is the Holy Spirit. Amen. If that'll help you out. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. Say amen. Amen. If you're there. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. This is Jesus. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Verse 8. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more here. And of judgment, because the prince of this world, praise God, is judged. So, very important about the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to use 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want you to read it out loud. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Read it out loud with me. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now lift your hands to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, open our ears to hear the Word of God. Speak, Lord, in Christ's name. May I decrease, may you increase. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power. And God will give you the praise for what you will accomplish in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody you're glad to be at Westmoreland tonight. Amen. And glad to have you at Westmoreland. Amen. Article 4 emphatically, practically, and unwaveringly states that we believe in the person, say the person, of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we believe that the Holy Spirit is not a mere force. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling alone, or a phantom, or a thrill up your leg, or he's not even a part of God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is not an it. He is a person. And there's a lot of sometimes theology that gets a little mixed up. And I sing the song, send him on down, send him on down. He's already come down. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, we think he might be a thrill or a force. He is a thrill. He does bring a thrill. He does bring a force. He is a force to be reckoned with. But the Bible over and over asserts his equality with the Father and the Son and his unique office and his unique person. Now, how do we know this? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 19. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So you have over through the New Testament, you have the Holy Spirit in equality named with the Father and the Son. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The Holy Spirit is given equal honor with both the Father and the Son. And Jesus, our Lord, go to John chapter 14, even refers to him as he. This is where the Jesus-only doctrine fails. Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. So we have the Son talking to himself to send himself. No. He is a unique person of the Godhead. God is a unique person of the God. We are Trinitarians. Three separate, but three one. By the way, they're not separate. They're inseparable. Amen? And he says here, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you. Now notice he calls the Father he. Are you with me? Say amen. This is kindergarten through third grade level. I believe we can all grasp this. All right. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. The Father is referred to in the plural masculine pronoun he, as well as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just a force. He is not just a thrill. He is not just a phantom. He is an adorable person of the Godhead. Now, even further, go to Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Just follow me on the screen here. Acts 5, 3 and 4. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to who? All right. He's lying to the Holy Ghost, or lying to the Holy Spirit. And you kept back part of the price of the land. Why does it remain? Was it not in thine hand? Or thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto... Oh, wait a minute. He lied unto God, or did he lie unto the Holy Ghost? Well, he's talking about the Holy Ghost is God. Amen? The Holy Ghost and God the Father are equal. And we know that the Holy Spirit is a person not only because of the divine attributes and equality with the Father and Son and the epistles and the water baptismal formula and the prophetic word of Peter to Ananias, but go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now, why is this an important scripture? Because you can't grieve an inanimate object or thing. Grief is a term of endearment. Now, in a sense, I can get really upset at the cashier at Walmart if she tries to steal my $20, you know, and does something with it. But I'm not going to grieve over a cashier at Walmart or an inanimate object. A man at Walmart can get on my nerves when he does something wrong. But my sister, if she does something wrong, if I hear that she's done something to hurt herself, it doesn't get on my nerves. It grieves me. Why? Because I love my sister and I want the best for her. And there's love between me and my sister. And some of you can get on my nerves, but only my wife can really grieve me if she does something to hurt me or does something that I know will hurt herself. Say amen tonight. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit loves us. The Holy Spirit has a plan for us. And when we do things and we feel that little check of the Holy Spirit, we are not only just disobeying God in those terms, but we're grieving the very heart of God. Hey, why will you die? Why will you say yes to ten? Why will you sleep in during church? Why will you do that? I've got plans for you. I've got a purpose. That might have been the service you would have met somebody that would have changed your life. So understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. God is a person. A Father is a person. They have emotions, mind, and will. And they can weep and they can cry. When the Bible says when God sees hell, it says it tears his heart all to pieces. Oh, my friend, we serve a mighty God and a loving Lord. Can you say amen? Somebody say amen tonight. The Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just going to reference these scriptures. You can go back and listen to it, or you can jot them down. But other proofs that the Holy Spirit is a person, in John 14 and 26, it says he reminds us and he teaches. Only a person, not a force, can teach and remind. 1 Corinthians 2 and 13 says that we're taught by the Spirit, and discerning spiritual things with spiritual things. In Acts chapter 8, 29, it says the Spirit said to Philip. So the Spirit speaks, okay? The Father speaks, the Son speaks, the Spirit speaks. Acts chapter 13 and 2, one of our pastor's scriptures, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. So the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit reminds and he teaches. The Holy Spirit makes decisions. It has seemed good to us and the Holy Ghost to lay upon you no other burdens. So the Holy Ghost was part of a decision process in the early church. And oh, we need to factor in the Holy Spirit when we're making decisions in churches and decisions on leadership and decisions on what to do. Can you say amen? The Holy Spirit is an intercessor. He actually is the part of the Godhead that comes and prays not just for us, but prays with us. Romans 8 and 26, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray or what to pray. But the Spirit himself, I like that, the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. And he searches the hearts and intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. It says the Holy Spirit searches and knows the mind and knows the heart. Well, who else knows the mind? Who else knows our thoughts even afar off? Well, the psalmist said God does. God the Father. Well, now we have the Holy Spirit knows the what is the mind of man and knows what is the mind of God. There's three non-communicable attributes. I know that's a big word. I don't like to use big words because I went to East Carolina University. I need small words. Come on. Nothing against you ECU graduates that graduated in another school than I did, another department than I did. But these are non-communicable. In other words, nobody else can have these attributes. There are certain attributes of God that we can share in, like joy, like love, you know. But there's three things: omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience. Omnipotence, all power. That is an attribute I'll never have. I'll never have all power. And omniscience, all knowing. I'll never be all knowing. Now, I know some of you guys out there think you know it all now. I'm telling you, but you get to talking to them. But somewhere in there, you'll get stumped. I promise you. I am very ignorant when it comes to auto mechanics. I don't know the difference between a carburetor or a fuel injector. I don't know about the thing I know how to work best on a car is the horn. Come on now. So stay out of my way. So I want you to know that I'm very ignorant when it comes to that. But omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence means God is everywhere. You can get on a plane and fly to Lusaka, Zambia. Go ahead and fly if you want to. Amen. The Holy Spirit tells me, don't do it. Amen. He tells me different than what he tells y'all sometimes. Listen, the Holy Spirit is God. We should, and therefore, if the Holy Spirit is God, he should be worshipped. He should be prayed unto. He should be reverenced and honored, rejoiced in, glorified, longed for, sought for, known, loved, and adored. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Give him a hand of praise tonight. The Holy Spirit we celebrate. Amen. So that is who the Holy Spirit is. It just like you pray to the Father, you can pray. I say, Holy Spirit, I ask you to do this, that, and the other. It is in order to ask our God to do anything, because he is a God that wants to do many things for us. Amen. Holy Spirit is a person. Say amen. Don't let anybody come up and tell you that Holy Spirit's just a force or a flutter or a feeling. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit is a person. When we get to heaven, we'll see him in his glory. Now, that's who he is. Let me pivot and finish this message by talking about the three things that he does. This is what he does. You see, the Father does certain things, and the Son does certain things, and the Holy Spirit does certain things. Now, the Holy Spirit can do anything that the Father does. The Father can do anything the Son does. The Son can do anything the Father does. They are co-equal. But there is a relationship among the Trinity of complete harmony and unity. They're not three gods like the gods of Greece that get mad at each other and have a tiff with one another. No, that's the office you work at. That's not heaven. Amen. Come on now. That's a husband and wife. They have a tiff after 3 days on the honeymoon. Come on. But Dorian and I have been married 25 years, and I promise you, we haven't had a tiff yet. I promise you. Amen. Not one. We've had about 10,000, but not one. Amen. So, I tell you, please understand that there, and you know what? The harmony and unity of the Trinity really ought to be, we ought to live in harmony and unity among brothers. Jesus said, Lord, I pray that they may be one as we are one. Here's a thought. You need to work for unity in the church. Just because you didn't get your way or your particular idea or maybe the carpet or maybe you didn't get a certain request or maybe you were overlooked over some promotion or maybe you feel like you should teach a class and maybe it doesn't go. Let me tell you something. We've got to work for unity. Listen, God will promote you. God will move on people's hearts. God will, and I know sometimes people will maybe do you wrong, and even in church, people will overlook you and do you wrong. But we've got to learn to mature and grow in the Lord, and say, and not be proud of our abilities and our gifts, because God can take them at any moment. Any moment they belong to Him. And so what if you're causing trouble in the church? If you're raising issues all the time, if there's disharmony and disharmony. Now, I don't mean we all have to agree on everything. Let me tell you, I'm looking in this congregation tonight. Not every one of us is going to agree on everything. Everybody has their favorite this, their particular way of looking at this, and their particular background. But that's the beauty of the church. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they are very much different, but they are very much one. And God can make us one. And so when we work together in unity and harmony, mighty things can happen. Can you say amen? Amen? So don't be a troublemaker. Don't be the wrong troublemaker. If you're going to make trouble, make it with the devil. Amen. I had a lady one time, and I walked in the back of the church, and I was just shaking people's hands, and I shook somebody's hand, and she said, I said, how you doing? Well, I'm not happy about XYZ. And the lady in front of her started snickering and laughing at me and said, well, preacher, what you going to do about that? I said, not a thing. We're going to have church. Glory to God. She wasn't going to ruffle my feathers. I'm under the anointing. Souls are at stake. And here this devil wants to come and trip me up and get me where I can't concentrate on the message. It's ungodly. And we talk about people on marijuana and we talk about prostitutes. But what that woman did to me in the church was just as evil and ungodly. And I know you probably don't agree with that. But I'm going to tell you something. We got to take church unity a little bit more seriously. Because the devil can't work where there's devil's going to work where there's disunity. And God can't work where God can work where there is unity. Amen. Amen. I ain't planning to say all that now. And you know, I've been associate pastor 3 years. And a few times I'm like, I need to tell the pastor something. I need to tell the pastor something. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to tell him now. I'm not going to tell him right after church either. She's tired. I really don't know when to tell him. I don't want to call him up and tell him either, you know. And then he have a bad day. It's not bad. Just so I try to present things to the pastor when I know that if there's something that has to be dealt with that won't rob him from his focus. Amen. Rob him from his focus, which is the word of God. Come on now. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. Oh, you're welcome. Amen. And people want to come. I was telling the pastor this. Y'all please understand that sometimes people walk off the street. They have no intentions of serving God. They have no intentions of getting saved. They've gone from church to church to church, and all they want is money. And they walk in the door, and they want to see the pastor. Well, you know, as lead pastor, I would be very gracious, and I'm still going to be gracious to them. But as associate pastor, they're not going to get past me. Because here's what my answer is. No. Oh, can I get money? No. Why? My car's broke down. So. And then my next word is go. Y'all love me? Come on now, y'all. No, so, and go. Because you're a crook and you think the church is a handout. Well, they might need Jesus, honey. If they needed Jesus, I promise you I'd be the first one to lead them to the altar. They're not after Jesus. They're after to rip people off. And I'm telling you, I don't want them to mess with the pastor. The pastor's anointed. He's got souls that will be. Y'all love me still. Oh, my. Let me tell you, we help people all the time in this church. And a lot of times I will tell the folks, I say, hey, I'm sorry. We just helped Sister So-and-so. We didn't call the name, but we just paid their light bill. A lot of times you don't realize what we're doing for our own people. Amen, somebody. I don't have enough funds to give to everybody that has a need because they're not responsible. Where's your church at? Amen. Where's your faith? Now, listen, let me say this. I feel it coming back to me. So let me say this to you. If the person really has a genuine need, I promise you, me and Pastor Jerry and this book will be more than enough. We'll pull out of our own pocket to help a genuine need. But you kind of learn what the ropes are. Kind of get a witness out here today. The Holy Spirit gives us discernment, friend. Amen. Oh, somebody say, God bless you. Amen. I'm just going to take a vote here tonight. Y'all still love me? Raise your hand. I'm believing every hand is lifted. I'm believing every hand is waving. I love you, preacher. Amen. Now you can put them back down. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Rip that out of the MP3. Amen. Delete that part out of the sermon, Brother Baker. Amen. Let's move on to point number one. What does the Holy Spirit do? Number one, he reveals the person of Jesus to us. You wouldn't know Jesus if it weren't for the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have a what? Advocate with the Father. Who is that advocate? Jesus Christ, the righteous. So, Jesus is called an advocate, but did you know we also have another advocate called the Holy Spirit? Did you know, go to John chapter 15 and verse 25. It says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. He shall testify of me. And here's what happens here. Jesus is our advocate to the Father, but the Holy Spirit brings the Father to us. Now, you might have missed that. This is really good. It's shouting ground. In other words, Jesus will take my needs to the Heavenly Father, but the Holy Spirit will take God's promises and God's presence to me. Don't you love that? He reveals the presence and the promises and the person of Jesus. In other words, when I fall, and I will, the Holy Spirit says, the Father says, you're forgiven. When I'm weak, the Holy Spirit comes and says, you are strong. When I need help, the Holy Spirit will come and say, I'm your helper. When I don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit says, well, then let me pray through you. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 16 that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. The Holy Spirit, he reveals God to me. He bears witness with me. And the Holy Spirit says, Ricky, you might not be what you want to be. Ricky, you might not be what you're going to be. But Ricky, you're not what you used to be, because I'm revealing the Father to you. Somebody give him praise here tonight. Number one, reveal the person of Jesus. Number two, the Holy Spirit recalls the promises of Jesus. Say amen. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 25, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and he will do what? Bring all things to your remembrance. When you feel depressed, he will remind you the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you feel like you're not going to get well, he'll remind you that the Lord is your healer. Amen. The Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance the prophecies and the promises that God spoke to you in times past that seemed to be unfulfilled. The Holy Spirit will remind you that God is at work. He will bring all things to your remembrance. Now, by the way, the more you put in your mind, the more he can bring to remembrance. That's why reading the Bible, reading the Word of God, learning Scripture, getting familiar with the verses, you might not know exactly where it's at, but you know that the Holy Spirit, just like when our missionary Sunday, Brother Gonzalez, he read Philippians, he that began a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. That's one of the scriptures the Holy Spirit gave me many years ago. And I'll tell you, I stand and the Holy Spirit reminded me that he that began a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit recalls the promises of God. And then, I'm going to bring this to a close. He reveals the person of Jesus to us. Say amen. Amen. He recalls the promises of Jesus to us. Say amen. Amen. And then, he releases the power of Jesus through us. Oh, look at John chapter 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another Comforter, that he may what? Abide with you forever. See, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, because of Calvary, because of the blood, the Holy Spirit came upon people. He came upon David when he brought Goliath down. He came upon Moses when he stretched out the rod. He was the cloud by day, the fire by night. He came upon his people like Isaiah and the prophecies. And he came upon Joshua when he said, son, stand thou still. And you read those miracles. And Elijah and Elisha, I believe Pastor was preaching on one of those miracles this past Sunday, violent faith. And the Holy Spirit came upon those people. But this was radical because he said he will actually abide with you forever. The Jews didn't know what he was talking about. They were, you know, even Saul, the Bible says he had a chance and the Spirit came upon him and then it left him because that's the way the Spirit did. But my friend, today, please understand, the Holy Spirit just doesn't come upon you. The Holy Spirit comes within you. That's what we call being full of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody shout amen. He doesn't just come on and off. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way for the Comforter. Does he abide with you? Do you feel the Holy Spirit in you working right now? Well, I've not been all that I need to be. He's still working on you. He hasn't left you. The only time he'll leave you is when you leave him. Amen. Now, we'll tell you, going back to the scripture I said a while ago, grieve not the Holy Spirit. It didn't say he would leave you, but you would certainly grieve him if you do things that are not right. You'll know when you're grieving the Holy Spirit. You open that refrigerator door and there's that can of beer and you reach out for it. You're going to be grieving the Holy Spirit. Come on now. You start looking at other people that you shouldn't be looking at. You're going to be grieving the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't leave you. People like, Brother Ricky, I'm just not, I have these temptations. I must not be who I'm supposed to be. No, the fact that you feel bad about being tempted is proof that you are who you're supposed to be. Think about before you ever got saved. Did you feel bad about doing all that stuff? You didn't think a thing of it. You enjoyed it. You rejoiced in it. You watched it, loved it, lived it, laughed about it. But I tell you what, you get the Holy Spirit in your life and you won't laugh about sin anymore. There's movies, I'll start watching a movie and I'll check very carefully what I watch and I'll start seeing things and it doesn't make me happy. Because I don't like to see people ruining their lives. I don't like to see people drinking alcohol. I know what alcohol did to my family. I know what alcohol did to my daddy. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. The Holy Spirit comes to abide and he releases the power of Jesus in us. Amen. Now the question, now this is for article number 11. Article 11, talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So tonight I wanted to tell you about the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want to just remind you, in closing that he is a person. Somebody say amen. Put back article 4 if you don't mind. He is a person. So you need to know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows you and he comes to do three things. Number one, he comes to reveal the person of Jesus to us. We can't be saved without the person of the Holy Spirit. And as we're saved, he reveals the plans of the Father to us. As Jesus represents us to the Father, the Holy Spirit represents the Father and the Son to us. He is the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Attorney. He is himself called an Attorney. So he reveals the person of Jesus. He recalls the promises in the Word. He brings back to our mind when we're sick, when we're tempted, when we're going through things. And then finally, he releases the power through us. If you don't have power in your life, then you need to get full of the Holy Ghost. You need to pray to, oh, Holy Spirit, have my arms, have my body, have my mind, have my spirit. There's a world we face out there, and if you don't have a relationship and a prayer and an endowment of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have all that you need. The Holy Spirit releases the power through us. Somebody say amen. Now I thought about the pastor when I saw this, and I thought, I'm going to close tonight about the lion and the rabbit. So all the kids are in. All right. Everybody 100 years of old age and old, younger, raise your hand. If you're younger than 100. All right. I'm going to make sure all the kids are here. All right. Okay. So we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. But a lion met a tiger and they drank beside the pool. Said the tiger to the lamb, "Why do you roar like a fool?" "That's not foolish," said the lion with a twinkle in his eyes. "They call me the king of beasts because I advertise." A rabbit heard them talking and ran home like a streak. He thought he'd try the lion's plan, but his roar was just a squeak. A fox then heard the rabbit. He had dinner in the woods. "So when you advertise, my friend, just be sure you got the goods." Point. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got the goods, and you can roar like a lion and be filled. filled with power. Give him praise. Roar in praise tonight. Roar in victory tonight. You got the goods. His name is Jesus, and he's poured out his Holy Spirit. Article 4, we're going to read it again as the pastor comes tonight. Article 4, everybody stand and read it with me tonight out loud. Article 4, we believe the Holy Ghost proceeding from the Father and the Son is of one substance, majesty, and glory with the Father, the Son, and God. If you've got the goods tonight, give him another hand of praise.
Hallelujah.
He abides.
Glory to God. That's why I tell people, come on out to Westmoreland. If you're watching my live stream, Facebook, we got the goods. We want to shepherd you. We want to teach you. The presence of the Holy Ghost is in this place. God has put a seal of approval here. We have a Friday night prayer meeting. We've been meeting for 22 years praying, and God is honoring us, and the best is yet to come. The brightest days for the church are ahead. He abides. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he abides with us?
Oh. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
He abides, oh, he abides.
He abides,
he abides,
he abides.
Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way,
for the Comforter
abides with me.
Verse 3, is that all right?
There's no thirsting for the things of the world. They've taken wings.
Long ago
I gave them up and instantly.
Glory!
All my night was turned to day. All my burdens rolled away.
Oh, the Comforter abides with me.
Oh, yes. He abides.
He abides.
He abides.
He abides.
Hallelujah. He abides with me.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
I'm rejoicing.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God is on my life I see. And the reason for my bliss, yes, the secret all is this. And the Comforter abides.
Oh, have you got the goods tonight? Oh, he abides.
He abides.
He abides.
He abides.
Hallelujah, he abides with me.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
He's with me every day.